Tate Publishing and Enterprises, along with Tate Out Loud Audiobooks, presents The Seven Truths of Life, written by Singhor Pope and narrated by Josh Kilborn.
Introduction. My life has always been, and continues to be, a predetermined series of events designed to prepare for and catapult me toward my destiny. This is not a unique scenario occurring only in my life. Life is designed this way for all of us. It turns out that this is a part of the self-supporting design of the universe. What if you could look into the future and see all of life's possibilities for yourself, and were afforded the opportunity to choose one? What if you then were given the chance to go back and pre-shape the events, the people, and the situations that would bring about the perfect plan to accomplish the life you envisioned for yourself? In this scenario, there are only two rules. The first rule is the people involved in your life are able to choose whether they desire to play out their roles in your masterpiece. You can give hints, influence them, and even utilize all types of synchronistic events, situations, reminders, and people to point them in the direction that fulfills your grand design. The second rule is before returning back to live out this perfectly designed plan for your life, you have to forget that you ever designed a plan. Therefore, in addition to all of the hints that you have set up for your friends and other people involved in your masterpiece, you must create a second set for yourself. With this pre-designed course in place, do you think you would have a good shot at living the life of your choosing? Bear in mind, although all of the thousands of pieces to your puzzle will seem unrelated, you are born with a deeper inner knowing that in the end, all of the pieces of the puzzle will fit together perfectly and create the vision you imagined, prayed for, and have seen in your dreams. This is how the universe has worked in my life, and as you recount the events and people in your life, you will realize that the universe has worked this way in yours. You may have heard it said that there are no accidents in the universe. Everything that happens to you has a reason and is a part of your purpose. For we're all born with our unique missions embedded in our souls. Some of us have peeled away enough layers of ourselves to discover what that unique mission is, and many have actually lived it. Finding your purpose. The question is often asked, how does one discover one's purpose? This is a complicated question, and the answer is equally elusive as the question. As a matter of fact, the answer varies from person to person and is just as individualized as the person that is asking. Some people find their purpose, and other people's purpose finds them. If you examine the events of your life, you will see this process unfold, just as if you had completed the previously described exercise. Upon reflection, you will discover a series of seemingly unrelated events that when viewed from a distance fit together perfectly to attract the people, places, and events that shape your life into the exact manifestation that it currently represents. When I'm asked this question, I try to provide people with some general answers that point them in the direction that leads to their own self-discovery of this answer. Generally, your unique mission can be found in your inner, deepest desires, whether it's the most basic of desires, like survival, food, love, and companionship, or even complex desires such as fulfillment and enlightenment. All living things have desires. It is these desires that fuel all of creation. Regardless of whether you believe in the Big Bang Theory or evolution, both of these have desire as their motivating factors. Now, some will argue a strong case for not desiring anything, but even the desire not to desire something is still a desire within itself. Every change that happens, whether it's a slow one like evolution or a drastic one manifested out of thin air, desire is always the underlying catalyst. Discover what you desire the most to do, be, or have, and this will generally land you pretty close to the answer of what your soul's purpose is. You may even find that on your way to achieving your desire, that it is merely a stepping stone to an awakening that will eventually lead you to your ultimate purpose in life. This book is designed to help you discover your purpose and live it. How this book and you met. This book is part of your desire manifesting. This is where your desire to find and live your purpose has intertwined with my desire to bring forth a book designed to help you not only discover your purpose, but to manifest it through your intentions to have it. This book, like all the people, situations, and things that come in and out of your life, is a tool for the fulfillment of your purpose. Just for a second, think about how you happened upon this book. Did a friend recommend it? Did you see it on a bookshelf somewhere and felt an urge to get it? Or perhaps you came in contact with this book in a more overt way. As you ponder the answer, keep in mind that no matter how this book ended up in your hands, everything happens for a reason, and there are no accidents. You discovered this book just at the right time to receive the information that you are seeking right now. This book is the next step in your evolutionary process, or as it was for me and many others, it could be your Big Bang. In either case, this book, like everything that you encounter, is a part of the process of your discovering the you that your soul desires to be. How to approach this information. I believe that there are many different levels of truth, and that my truth is just that, my truth. This doesn't mean that my truth has to be your truth or your truth has to be mine, nor does it mean that my truth is right and yours is wrong, or vice versa. It's the places where our truths are aligned that we have the opportunity to exist as one. It is when our truths diverge that we have the opportunity for further self-discovery and the chance to discover a new truth, a clearer way, and even higher truths. If we all remain stuck thinking or believing alike, then there will never be any advancement in the spiritual world or the physical. This is where most of the people who are in conflict with organized religion base their complaint. This is also where the people in the church base their conflicts with those who operate outside of their religious beliefs. As you can clearly see, they both must exist in order for growth to occur in either place. It's the unity of a collection of truths that originally formed organized religion, in the church as a body in the first place. The many denominations and manners of worshiping are the offspring of that collection, developing into a new truth. This is the manner in which all religions emerged. So if you look close enough, you will see that each school of thought must exist in order for the other to exist. And the same is true for us as individuals. So as you approach this information, try to remember that it is your current collection of truths that brought you here to confirm, expand, or develop new truths. As you read along, some of the concepts in this book may challenge a few of your current beliefs. Remember that this is where our truths diverge, and as some of them confirm things that you have already known, know that this is where we embrace our oneness. It's the gray areas that offer us the chance to expand our current set of beliefs and allow us to stretch into newer and grander dimensions of ourselves. As you explore the pages of this book, you will find that there are some truths that are the truth, irrespective of our beliefs about them. It is these truths that I believe that the seven truths of life represent. I've heard it said that the truth just is, and it can neither be proven nor denied, but you always recognize it when you are in its presence. The purpose of the seven truths of life. Each of the seven truths is an individual part of the process of creation. They are not secrets, and they don't have to be discovered or taught to you. As a matter of fact, all seven of them have not only been known by all people throughout the ages, they're already known by you. You were born with this process embedded in your soul, for you are part of this process. Your reading this book is just a chance for your higher self to help your lower self remember that which it already knows. What I love most about these seven truths is that they are not truths that are far-fetched or hard to understand. Most are things that many of you will already be familiar with and have heard said many times over in many different ways, but probably never in this way. Ideally, if life is a process of creation, and each of these seven truths makes creation possible, then the purpose of this book is to reacquaint you with the seven truths of life and remind you how to apply them. How this book will impact you. This book and the seven truths described in it are designed to help you identify your purpose and manifest it. You will learn how these same truths have shaped the lives of everyone who's ever walked this planet, Each truth and its accompanying description will allow you to lay the groundwork for discovering and creating the circumstances of your most desired life. The seven truths will also be described in their highest forms for utilization in the design of a life plan that manifests the life you choose for yourself. This is where the accompanying workbook or your personal journal will come into play. Your responses to the questions raised by each of these seven truths will create the roadmap toward the fulfillment of your life's purpose. As you learn the highest application of each truth, you are encouraged to write down your personalized responses so that your life plan can begin to emerge. Your life plan will develop into a daily regimen of activities that will put you on purpose and catapult you toward the life that you have pre-designed for yourself through this process. How to best apply the truths contained within these pages. Lastly, as you utilize these truths to manifest the ideal life for yourself, remember that sharing what you've discovered here with others is the quickest way to help others achieve their life's purpose and realize your own. It's been said that once taught is twice learned, or that simply that which you do to or for someone else, you do to or for yourself. So as you rediscover your truths through these pages, help others rediscover theirs by exposing them to what you've learned and complete the circle. The process of creation defined. The adjective for life is change, and all change is fueled by desire. Desire is the currency and catalyst for all that happens. Since change is constant, everything that's alive is always changing from its birth to its never-ending transformation that we call death. Desire is the motivating factor that propels life forward. Anyone who tells you that it's holy not to desire anything is telling you to work against yourself and the natural laws of the universe. When you desire something, you are basically telling the universe that you would like to change what is into what you desire it to be. This book is designed to teach you how to apply this creative force toward the accomplishment of any and everything that you seek. The process of manifestation. The verb for turning thoughts into things is to manifest. It comes from the world of imagination, in the Middle English word manifestus, meaning visible, and the Latin word manus, meaning hand. When you manifest something, you metaphorically reach your hand through the invisible curtain separating the tangible world from the intangible and pull your desired object into existence. The application of these two processes, creation and manifestation, are what's being taught here as you discover and intentionally live your life's purpose. The hero in you. Why in the movies does the hero always complete his mission and survive insurmountable odds, while those around him fail and are somehow only pawns in the hero's victory? A great example of this is Tom Cruise's movie, The Last Samurai. He plays a young man, a soldier from America, who finds himself in Japan, a foreign land, expected to fight and conquer the local enemies of the emperor, the samurai. His job is to train the emperor's army to destroy all those who oppose the emperor, and his plans to westernize his country. After the first battle, our hero, Tom Cruise, finds himself captured by the group he was sent to destroy. His captors spare his life to learn more about him. In turn, our hero learns the ways of the samurai and decides to join them. Eventually, he chooses to fight against the emperor and the army that he was sent to train and lead. Now, after hundreds and possibly thousands of years of the samurai's existence, the emperor is intent upon destroying and killing them all. After a brutal scene on the battlefield with the samurai fighting using only bows, arrows, and swords against thousands of trained soldiers with heavy military artillery and guns, all of the samurai are killed, leaving only one person alive out of thousands. As you probably have figured out by now, it's our hero, Tom Cruise. He is the last samurai, despite the fact that he had just become one a few months earlier. After watching this film, I, like most of you, rationalized that it's only a movie, and we all know that nothing like this ever happens in real life. That's why we watch movies in the first place. It's a chance for us to suspend our disbelief for 120 minutes and allow ourselves to believe that anything is possible, even against the most unrealistic odds. Once that small window of time elapses, we leave the movie theater pumped up, still feeling the residuals of the powerful feeling of being able to accomplish anything, at least for the next 30 or 40 minutes. Then reality kicks in, and we say to ourselves, that was a good movie, but it was just a movie. Yet what if I told you that events like these are happening every day in life? Perhaps in a little less dramatic fashion. Nevertheless, they still happen to those whose intentions are fueled by their belief in what they are trying to accomplish, regardless of the odds. For instance, how many times did we witness Michael Jordan get the ball with the entire opposing team knowing in advance that his team would attempt to pass him the ball for the last game-winning shot? The opposing team knew they would need to prevent this in order to win the game. They would even practice multiple scenarios and recruit special defensive players to defend against this exact strategy. The defending team, coaches and fans, and everyone else on planet Earth knew what was about to happen. And Michael still somehow got the ball, made the game-winning shot, or led a remarkable comeback. When you examine both film and real-life scenarios like these, they seem like impossibilities. But these incredible displays of the actualizing of one's will have happened many times in the lives of different people. After all, when you observe the lives of most of the people we idolize, their stories are similar to our film and storybook heroes. They too overcome insurmountable odds and unbelievable situations, just like our movie heroes. Actually, some of their stories, if condensed into a 2-hour film script, seem even more improbable than the most unrealistic movies. Think about the people who had a significant impact on our world. Whether they're from our past, like Jesus Christ, Benjamin Franklin, and Gandhi, or more recent history, like Michael Jordan, JFK, Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Nelson Mandela. Their stories are just as remarkable. Their lives condensed into 2 hours would appear on screen in many ways, equally as fantastical as our movie heroes. It's the same in your life as it is in the movies. The only difference being that the film version is a 120-minute highlight of a lifespan of many years, even decades. More importantly, perhaps the main difference between your movie and those famous people previously named is that they all have mastered one or more of the 7 truths contained in this book. They have become the conscious creator, director, and star of their lives, and thus they consciously dictate the desired outcome for their lives, whereas most people live their lives at best as just the unconscious actor. You see, the unconscious actor is not aware that he can create the script and direct the scenes. He just shows up every day to act his part, blindly taking direction from his unconscious thoughts and unconscious reactions to the circumstances of his life, as if they were pre-designed by someone else. Thus, the unconscious actor feels he has no control over the outcome. The principles in this book are designed to teach you how to become the conscious creator, the director, and the star in the number one blockbuster hit movie, your life, so that you can choose if your character lives happily ever after, or dies a slow, miserable death, tormented by failure after failure. Just like the hero in the movie, we are all faced with choices in our lives that either help define who we are or cause us to become something that we never knew we had the ability to become. These challenging, insurmountable, and even life-threatening events are often the very opportunities that we need to discover who we truly are, and thus discover our greatness. Whether it's the hero in the 2-hour movie, or one of our real-life heroes like Benjamin Franklin, their successes can be attributed to the conscious application of the 7 truths discussed in this book. As before mentioned, these 7 truths are not secrets. They don't have to be discovered or taught. I would venture to say that the 7 truths contained in this book have already been said to you, or you have heard them somewhere before in some form or fashion. Most of our highest truths have been repeated so often by so many people in so many different ways that you may regard them as cliches. This is where I feel most of our highest truths are hidden, merely as things people say that have no known foundation of truth, and are thus discounted and written off. If these clichés had no merit, they would not have been spoken of in every way, in every language, by almost everyone since the beginning of time. The difference that you will find here in this book versus the multitude of times you may have heard them used elsewhere is that you will learn how these principles shape the life that you currently live, and how you can use these truths to directly impact any aspect of your life that you desire to improve or totally change. In the past, I used these seven truths from time to time, sometimes consciously, but mostly unconsciously, not knowing that I had orchestrated my universe and designed my life. My life was full of ups and downs. One minute I felt that I was on top of the world, and other times I wondered if I was even part of this world. As I reflected on all the major events in my life, a pattern began to emerge. This analyzing allowed me to realize that every event that I felt was happening to me was actually happening because of me. As I further thought and meditated on this, I realized that these events were being attracted to me for the sole purpose of becoming the me that I am today and will be in the future. If you also review the events that have shaped your life, it will be easy for you to see that each event is connected and represents the unfolding of your life. Once you stop and look closely enough, you will notice that the situations play out into a perfectly designed, well-orchestrated set of events that have been put in place to allow you to attract the current set of experiences that you are now living. I believe that your life as you currently view it today, in its present condition, is the total sum of all the thoughts you have had, the words you have spoken, and the actions you have taken. As a matter of fact, what else could it be? All of the events in your life, both major and minor, are things that were created by you versus things that happened to you. Whether you see them as good luck, bad luck, karma, synchronicity, or a blessing, if you sit and reflect back on all of the memorable events that have happened in your life in their entirety, you can easily see that these events were not accidents that led you to where you are today. As you recount the events, you will begin to see the perfection in this well-choreographed and thoroughly developed series of events that have formed your life and brought about your current set of circumstances. With even the slightest retrospect, you will recognize that no computer program or group of people could have generated events so perfectly executed to unfold into your current life. This is what I call God's plan unfolding in your life. For some people, like me, it has taken years of self-discovery, outside coaching, and many hours of reflecting to discover their soul's purpose or life's mission. For others, it happened in the blink of an eye, through a major event. And some people have known their purpose from birth. These people are said to be born to do a certain thing. Occasionally, I hear people say that they've been doing what they are successful at since the ages of 2 and 3 years old. Now, I can't even remember what I was doing at that age, but these people, we often say, were born to do what they do, and they very often become our heroes. I would venture to say that we are all born knowing our mission. It's just that those who decide not to let other people, circumstances, and other things turn them away from it, and stay the course of what they know to be true for them, get the chance to experience having it the fastest. These people have mastered the first truth to obtaining whatever it is they desire. I remember hearing a story about Oprah Winfrey when she was a little girl around 5 or 6 years old. She was sitting on the back porch as her grandmother washed clothes by hand and was hanging them out to dry. As her grandmother wrung water out of the clothes, she chastised young Oprah and told her that she should stop playing and pay attention and learn how to tend to the clothes the same way because one day she too would have to do the same thing. And I will never forget the narrator of this story commenting about young Oprah thinking to herself, "No, Grandma, I will never have to do that as a way of life for myself." The narrator said that this thought was coming from the mind of a young girl who knew nothing but poverty. So here she was, surrounded by images that were the opposite of what she held in her head for herself. And through this, she was able to see the life that she knew was in her future. You see, what Oprah and those like her have in common is that they have mastered the first truth. The first step to getting what you desire from life is, you must first identify and become crystal clear about what it is that you truly want. For those of us that wait years to discover this, or take years to act on it, the process always begins with becoming clear about what you want. For some of us, we have found out what we wanted by identifying the things that we didn't want through a process of elimination. This is the long way, but it is the way that most often we choose to discover our life's purpose. However we choose to get there, it's only when we become clear about what we desire that we can begin to see God's plan unfolding in our lives, catapulting us toward achieving it. I read a book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy. In this book, the author suggested that you ask your subconscious mind as you go to sleep at night to wake you up at an exact time the following morning. I tried it, and it worked. That small experiment reminded me that I had done this many times in the past, but in different ways and had gotten the same or similar results. One instance stands out more than any other. I was particularly troubled by a recurring dilemma that I often found myself faced with. My dilemma was how do I do what I love and make enough money to provide for my family while doing it. This often troubled me because I prided myself on always following my passion and only doing things that brought me fulfillment, which was easy to do in my younger years. However, as I got older, got married, and started a family, what seemed to come so naturally was no longer enough to consistently pay the bills. This is what happens to our dreams. We put them on the shelf and do what's responsible. Nonetheless, I was faced with a familiar decision to make. Do I stay in the business that I enjoy? Or do I change directions and do something less fulfilling for me, but more accommodating for those affected by my choices? I knew from my newfound ability that I could respond with the knowledge that the answer could be found in the question. So I asked myself the question, how can I make more money doing what I enjoy, which was investing in real estate, but do it with less time committed? I asked myself this question repeatedly as I contemplated how to remain in this industry that I loved and still accomplish my goals of more income with less input on my part, both in time and effort. As the second day of this continued thought passed, I started to wonder if I should look into other industries to find the answer, or if I should even consider taking on a different aspect of this industry that could possibly help me accomplish what I was after. As I finished my workday and began to retire for the evening, I sat there in my home office staring at the wall, contemplating this question more and more. It was at that point when I thought to myself, the answer must lie in the question. Invigorated, I immediately got up and wrote the question on the whiteboard in my office. I then sat again and stared at the question. With this question burning brightly in my mind, I went to bed and fell asleep without giving it very much more thought. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to a loud voice that I somehow knew was in my head and not somewhere in my house. As I cleared the grogginess and tried to think about what the loud voice in my head was saying to me, I heard the voice simply and plainly say, "Do bigger deals." I sat up on the corner of my bed and said to myself, "What in the world does that mean? Do bigger deals?" Rather than sit there trying to figure it out, I immediately got up and headed to my home office, grabbed a pen and paper, and wrote down what I heard. As I sat there contemplating what this loud voice was trying to tell me, I looked up at my whiteboard and saw the question that, at the time, I had forgotten that I had written down before going to bed. The question was, how can I make more money in the real estate industry with less time and effort committed? I looked down at the paper at what I had scribbled. There was the answer, as simple and as plain as day. Do bigger deals. I don't know how something so simple could have escaped me. Why an answer this easy to interpret did not come to me days earlier, or why it came to me in the middle of the night bewilders me. It was then I remembered Dr. Joseph Murphy's book and asking my subconscious to wake me up at 4:27 a.m. From this time on, when faced with a burning question or dilemma, I responded with my newfound ability. This hit me like a ton of bricks. The fact that God had set the universe up in a way that would allow us to ask the questions that would lead to the answers we needed to live successful and fulfilled lives. As far back as I can remember, I have always had a desire to serve others. From being a little kid wanting to make breakfast for my older siblings, to founding companies for the sole purpose of the enrichment of others, to this book, its accompanying workbook, and lecture series, I've always found myself wanting to help others fulfill their dreams. I don't know where this desire came from, considering I didn't grow up with an overabundance of anything material, so I can only assume that it must be part of my purpose for being here. This knowledge of my purpose didn't come as a flash of instant insight like it does for some. It sort of evolved over time through a series of wonderful and sometimes very weird events. This book is a recounting of many of those events that shaped my life and helped me to learn my purpose. This book and the outline of the seven truths are simply answers to questions asked. I had an idea before I began to write this book of what I wanted the subject matter to be about, and the purpose for which I hoped the book would serve. However, I had no idea of the format, or even that there would be such a thing as seven truths of anything. As a matter of fact, the one thing I felt that the literary world did not need was another seven steps to something. As I struggled to formulate how to communicate a simple, logical approach toward creating one's life as one would like for it to be designed, I realized that this book is the manifestation of the collective consciousness of many people. So I meditated on how to write about my experiences in a way that would bring about a defined way to intentionally manifest one's desires versus the random, synchronistic manifestations that appeared in my life that I later recognized as my own creation. As I meditated and thought about how to format and tell this story in a way that people could follow and benefit from, I realized that this feat was a much larger undertaking than I had originally thought. It was at that moment that I remembered that all I had to do was ask the universe to define this work for me, rather than laboring for months and potentially years just to figure out what I was going to write. All I had to do was make myself available to receive what had already been predestined for me, but not predetermined, and that it was my availability, not my ability, that was keeping me from realizing my ultimate goals. I already had identified that the problem with people like me who think they can do it all is that they often try to. This was a major obstacle for me. I had a tendency to become preoccupied with all of my many potential accomplishments, and never made myself available for the things that I was put here to do. Subsequently, it was easy for me to diagnose this problem in myself and recognize what was being said to me when a friend told me that if I could just sit still long enough, that I would become what we both knew I was supposed to become. I thought to myself, if it's really that simple, just ask the question, make myself available to receive the answer, let the universe do the rest, then even I could do this. So, in an effort to begin responding with my new ability, that night I asked myself the question over and over again. What is the subject matter of this book, and how should this book be formatted to benefit those who come into it? I went to sleep that night with the expectation that when I awoke the next morning, or sometime throughout the course of the night, the outline would come to me, and I would know exactly the format and how to write this book. I awoke the next morning surprised that there was no dream, no loud voice, nothing. As I thought about it again that next day, I wondered if I was supposed to figure it out myself, or if all I truly had to do was ask like I'd done so many times before. So for the next few nights, I meditated and asked myself the same question again and again. I even slept with a pen and notebook next to the bed, expecting my answer to come through, and still, nothing happened. Several days passed, and I found out that I had to leave for an unexpected business trip to Florida, which threw me out of my routine. After working all day in Florida, I retired that night to bed exhausted, without doing my nightly question, asking, and meditating. I fell asleep at about midnight, and just as I heard myself go into one of those deep sleeps, meaning I can hear myself snoring, I heard a loud voice say, "First, you must become clear about what it is that you want." As I lay there wondering whether I was dreaming or not, I remember saying to myself, "What?" I sat up in my hotel bed and thought to myself, "What do I want?" I wondered what that meant, and then I remembered the question I had been asking for the previous 4 or 5 days. I instantly knew that the universe had begun writing this book. Every night after that first night, like clockwork, I was awakened at about 3:30 a.m. with the same loud voice with truths 1 through 7, only skipping 1 or 2 nights in between. Religiously, every night I got up and wrote down what I heard, and whatever brief explanation that sometimes accompanied each truth that didn't make sense, just as a statement. Here's what came out. 1. The first thing that you must do to get anything that you want is you must become clear about what it is that you want. Decide what you want and become clear about it. Decide it and choose nothing else. 2. Do your beliefs and your attitude support you getting what you want? Do you believe that you can have it? And what are your attitudes about it? 3. What is your game plan for getting what you want? Are your goals in support of what you want? 4. Think. Think thoughts in support of what you want. Visualize your highest thoughts about it and view it with your strongest feelings. Think about what you want and nothing else, and never about what you don't want. Use imagery and feelings to think. Visualization is the highest form of thinking. 5. Speak. Speak only words that are in support of what you want. Affirmations and incantations. Speak your truest words about it using the greatest commanding words ever spoken. I am. Words are thought expressed. 6. Actions. Take the highest actions in support of it. The greatest action you can take is to cause someone else to experience in his or her life that which you wish to experience in yours. 7. Thankfulness. You must be thankful in advance for that which has not happened yet. Proper prayer is your ability to pray and meditate on the things that are possible for your life, and having enough faith to allow God and yourself to bring them about. As awesome and intriguing as the idea of these 7 truths having the capability to work in the lives of those willing to design their life plans by implementing these truths was, I still found myself questioning many aspects of it. I knew that each truth worked, and could work independently of the other truths because I had seen remarkable things happen in my life due to the mastery of just 1 or 2 truths, whether used in combination or not. The thing that troubled me was the doubt that I had that I was the right person to bring forth this message. Had I truly lived a life created and directed by me, or had I been the product of circumstance? Would the fact that my life took so many ups and downs, good turns and bad, take away from the message? Would people miss the message because they focused on judging the messenger versus the message? As I thought about it, I realized that it was for these very reasons that I was bringing this message forth. The fact that I had been through a lot is what qualified me to have a story to tell in the first place. Someone once said, "You cannot have a testimony without a test." Even bearing all of that in mind, I still had to be totally certain that if others consciously used these 7 truths, they could literally manifest anything they chose in their life, especially since that is what's being promised by the message of this book. Therefore, I decided to test the truths in a way that would prove their validity to me, a few friends and family members. The test. To test this process, I decided to make some bold predictions of what the desired outcome would be if I became totally aligned with what I believed was the formula for manifesting the things that I wanted in my life. To test this theory, I decided to make these bold claims of what I would manifest via these 7 truths to some of the most critical people of me that I knew, my immediate family. It's not that my family wasn't supportive of me. It's just that they had heard me say that I was going to do a lot of things. As I began the process of identifying what I wanted and deciding when I wanted these things to show up in my life, I realized that I would have to set the standards for what I was going to accomplish, vastly out of my control, so much so that no one could deny that what I had accomplished came through something much bigger than myself. There would be no way that I could have accomplished this on my own. So I announced to my wife, brothers, and a few close friends one night at dinner what I had been working on and what I was planning to accomplish. I explained to them how the 7 truths came to me in a series of dreams and that I would work this plan to create $1 million in net worth by my 34th birthday. At that time, I had about $150,000 in cash and assets. As I had imagined, I had received the usual laughs and comments like, "Here we go again," or, "Yeah, right, Senghar. How do you propose to do that, considering your birthday is a little more than 60 days away?" Most of the laughs, criticisms, and mocking disbelief that I received was attributed to how I planned to accomplish this feat, because I had made crazy predictions before and accomplished them. Once I calmed their laughter down, I told them the rest of the plan. I explained to them that not only would I do this by my birthday, but I would prove that just following these truths alone was all that you needed to do, because the universe would do the rest. I would accomplish this goal, and I would not do any work whatsoever to make this happen. Because of the nature of the business I was in, it was not far-fetched to find a few great real estate deals, get them under your control, and generate $1 million in a short amount of time. Maybe not in 60 days, but still in a short amount of time. I explained that I would do nothing other than focus on what I wanted, work my daily regimen of the seven truths, and everything else would just appear. This made everyone stop and say, "Okay, now this I've got to see." That night I thought to myself, "Boy, this is a bold plan. I better start working these seven truths right away." About 10 minutes into my meditation, I realized that I couldn't get rid of the thought that this prediction may have been a little bit more than what I should have tried to take on. Plus, the second that it doesn't work, no one will take my book or the seven truths seriously again. So I decided that night to change the number from 1 million to 350,000. This, I felt, was doable, considering the time frames. And it still would be a major accomplishment, considering the fact that I plan to do nothing other than work the plan I had designed for myself through the seven truths. I quickly recanted my bold prediction to everyone that was at the dinner the previous night and told them of the new prediction, which they admitted would still be major if it happened. Several weeks passed before I went back to work my plan, probably due to the lack of enthusiasm for my smaller goal. However, I still knew I could manifest the 350,000 just by following the truths and nothing else. As I sat down to rewrite truth number 3, the goal, I scratched through the $1 million and changed it to 350,000. As I wrote the numbers 350,000, I thought to myself, why am I setting limits on what God can do through the most powerful tool that's ever been created, the universe? And the fact that I knew through all of my life's experiences that each of these steps had helped me create miracles in my life independent of one another, and that if I used them together, surely this could happen. In that instant, I adopted my original plan and began to work it. I then called everyone back and told them that the original prediction was back on. The very first person I called brought me to a very sobering realization that my birthday was now 33 days away. And at this point, nothing had happened. Even with that in mind, I made the rest of my calls and rewrote my entire plan. And this was it. What do I want? Being worth $1 million in net worth by my 34th birthday, with little to no effort on my part. What are my beliefs and attitudes about what I want? I believe that these seven truths have individually created miracles in my life. And used together, I would manifest this goal. My goal: to work the seven truths of life plan twice a day until I reached my goal of $1 million in net worth by my 34th birthday. Thought: visualize a picture of myself on the cover of a magazine with the caption reading "Self-Made Millionaire," with the issue date being my birthday. Word: I am 34 years old, and I am a millionaire. Action: I will mentor one person a day to help him or her toward the achievement of his or her financial goals. Thankfulness: I am thankful in advance for that which I am aligning myself with, so I will act as if what I want has already happened. Over the next few days, a series of seemingly unrelated things started to happen that I didn't realize at the time was part of my manifesting what I wanted. The first thing was a young lady called me up that I had not talked to in a while, who was a real estate agent in Jacksonville, Florida. Several months prior, I had submitted an offer to purchase a house through her. She asked me if I was still interested in the house. Almost a year had passed since I had it under contract. I told her if it became available, I would still be interested. She then explained that all of the title issues were cleared and that the sellers remembered I had wanted to buy the property. If I was still interested, they would entertain a lower amount than I had originally contracted for. Now, any logical thinking person would have thought at the time, wow, this is starting to work. But for some reason, I didn't equate this event to my plan. So I placed the property under contract and potentially increased my net worth by $100,000. A few days later, a friend of mine called and asked if I had some investment properties in Florida that I was looking to sell. He had just freed up some money and wanted to invest in real estate. I told him I did, and that I would email him the different properties that I was thinking of selling. Later that day, he called me back and told me that he had found one that he wanted to buy. I was hesitant because this property had a major upside, and I wanted to hold it while the rest of the street was developed. However, I didn't want to rent it and maintain it while the development happened. My friend explained to me what he wanted to do, which worked out perfectly. His plan would allow me to participate in the upside when the house sold, and at the same time I would not have to rent it out and deal with tenants while the rest of the street caught up to the newly revitalized portion of the neighborhood. This deal allowed me to make $40,000 up front and maintain an equity position of $40,000. It also helped me realize the $50,000 I had already taken out of the deal. By this time, I should have said to myself, "This is really happening." But I didn't see it unfolding. Since I wasn't working for these deals and they were just coming to me, or because I was still so far away from $1 million, I didn't even start to keep a tab. As I went to bed that night, I did my visualization, my affirmations, and glanced at the calendar. There were only 13 days left. The next day, I ran around doing a few last-minute things before leaving town. I had to take a trip to the West Coast for business. Whenever I'm on that side of the country, I try to squeeze all of my visiting of friends and family in for obvious reasons. I plan to be gone about 7 days and be home in time for my birthday. As usual, the second I got on the road, I lost all bearings on my daily regimen. I looked up, and 4 or 5 days had passed since I had last worked my Seven Truths life plan. My birthday was only 7 or 8 days away, and I knew that nothing short of a miracle would have to happen. As I sat there getting ready to start my meditation, it hit me. I had already made great strides toward hitting my goals. The house that I had gotten under contract and closed had just come to me. The deal that my friend had proposed was just perfect, and it too got me closer to my goal. I felt a rush of excitement come over me as I asked myself, "What's next?" And why didn't I realize that it was working sooner? Did I miss any opportunities while I was unconscious of what was happening? As I worked my plan that morning, I could not help but expect the very next call to be something miraculous. Whatever happened next had to be big because I figured at that point, I had about $400,000 under my control, provided everything went as planned. Later that day, I got a call from an investor friend of mine. We talked about the different deals we had on the table and just got caught up. As we concluded the conversation, he mentioned he had a deal that had passed by his desk. He knew it was outside of my normal investing preference, but he thought he would just run it by me anyway. I just knew that this was the deal to put me over the top. But as he talked about the deal, the numbers didn't work for me. The young lady who had the house under contract was selling the house for $800,000. And the house was worth $1.2 million. Not only was this deal a lot more than I was comfortable pursuing, as an investment property, it still would have left me about $200,000 short. So I told my friend I wasn't interested. However, he insisted that I at least go out and look at the house. I explained to him that I was on the West Coast and wouldn't be returning for a few days. He insisted that I send someone by to at least take pictures and email them to me. A few months prior, I had described to him the house I wanted to find to live in, and he felt this house was perfect. Mainly out of curiosity, I sent someone out to take pictures and email them to me. The instant the email opened, I knew this house was going to work out. I immediately called my friend and told him I wanted to negotiate with the seller of this property, to see if I could lower the price and prepare a written offer. He explained to me that he had already been on the phone with the person we thought was the seller, and found that she was not the owner of the property. The property was a bank-owned foreclosure, and she had lost the contract. He told me that she was requesting an extension on the contract and recommended that I submit an offer directly to the bank as a backup. Now, I was very familiar with this process. I did this between 10 and 20 times a month just to get 1 to 2 deals accepted, and it still normally took a week or two to get a fully effectuated contract from the bank. At that rate, it would take me a month or two past my birthday deadline, even if somehow the young lady's deal fell through and my offer was accepted. What happened next was nothing short of the miracle I was expecting. The next day, the bank denied the other buyer's request for an extension on her already 60-day overdue contract. The bank representative then called my friend and confirmed that they had received my offer. They planned to review it and respond in writing over the next week or two. The offer I submitted was substantially lower than the original price that the young lady had offered to sell it to me. It was so much lower that if accepted, the amount would have put me over the top of the monetary portion of the goal, but would miss the time allotted. By the time I was home in Atlanta, I was no longer focused on my goal of $1 million before my 34th birthday, which was now only hours away. My birthday is on January 9th, but we always celebrate it on the 8th since my wife's birthday is on the 7th. This has become a tradition of ours. Rather than planning two parties, we just do something together on the day in between. As the evening progressed, I could not stop talking or thinking about this house that I had submitted an offer on just a few days prior. Later that evening, I saw that my friend, the investor that originally told me about the deal, had called several times. I assumed that he was calling to tell me that he was either running late or that he would not make it at all, which was odd because he never missed a party. As I looked at the caller ID, I noticed that he had called repeatedly, and by this time it was after midnight. So I became concerned and returned his call. The second he picked up the phone, I heard the excitement in his voice. He explained to me that the bank representative had called him, and they had accepted my offer of $505,000. And not only had they decided to accept my offer, but they effectuated the contract with no counter stipulations and faxed the signed contract to me. By this time, it was well after midnight, which was officially my 34th birthday. I immediately went online to check my faxes. As I went through the faxes, I saw that one had come across earlier that day. I clicked on the email, and there was a fully executed sales agreement from the bank. As I printed the contract and did the math, my net worth value was over $1 million. I walked into the party that was still in progress and made the announcement in front of the same group that I had just 60 days earlier, announced my plan to manifest this outcome by utilizing the Seven Truths process. As I write this today, almost 10 months have passed, and all three of the deals closed as planned, and my goal that materialized in literally 60 days had fully manifested. When these seven truths were completely outlined, it was clear what the purpose and message behind this book was going to be. It was also clear that all the things that had happened in my life had led me to be the appropriate person bringing it forth. Even though I knew deep inside that I had used each of these principles in my life to bring about many of the things that I will discuss in this book, I knew that it was the completion of this book that would teach me to master and use all of the seven truths in the manner described within these pages. Congratulations in advance for discovering your life, on your terms, intentionally designed for you, by you.